This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
I grew up in Louisiana in a small town in Lower St. Bernard Parish, in a house that I suppose anyone would call haunted. It was your usual 70s-style house with the shag carpet and the wood panel living room and the avocado green kitchen appliances. I had my own room. My brother had his. And it was a regularly normal kind of life, and we're normal kids. Our parents probably drink too much, you know, by today's standards, but I guess I just assume everyone's parents did that. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and my father, he operated a business outside of the house, which kept him out away from us for weeks at a time, and he would come home and spend weekends occasionally with us. So for the large part of the time, it's just the three of us in our home. And the first odd thing, if I could point to one item, one event where all the weird stuff started to happen in our house, I have to say that this was it. My brother and I had just come home from school, and my mother was sitting at the kitchen table in the dark. She'd been drinking, which is not a very uncommon thing, I'm sorry to say. And my brother was, he wasn't there. He was sitting in front of the television set or something like that. And she said to me, "I met a ghost in the house today." I said, "Stop joking. That's not funny." And I'm getting kind of scared because her tone and her expression told me she very much so was not joking. My mother is not a humorless person, but she was not really a prankster either. My father was more of a joking kind of person. And she says, "No, I'm not. I was vacuuming in the hallway outside in the hallway closet. And when I backed into someone, not the wall, it felt like I bumped into a person. I turned around and there was nothing there. And I felt it again. I screamed. I ran out of the living room. And sure enough, she had left the vacuum cleaner in the hallway and everything and abandoned it. But she says, "Don't tell your brother. He's too young. I don't want him to be afraid." And at the time, being a kid, I remember feeling very jealous and hurt that my mother didn't want my brother to be hurt or to be terrified. But it was perfectly fine to scare me shitless, her other child. And I think out of spite, I told my brother about what had happened, about the ghost, the hallway ghost. And as a consequence, he started being terrified of sleeping in his own room, saying that there was something in this closet. And admittedly, there was so much crap in his closet. It would, you know, Millennium Falcons and Voltrons and G.I. Joe crap. It was more realistic danger from an avalanche of toys than actually a ghost or a ghoul trapped in there. And as an effort to get my brother to sleep in his room, my dad bought him a bunk bed set, a big oak bunk bed. And in a rare magnanimous moment, my little brother allowed me to sleep on the top bunk so I could experience this novelty, and he could sleep in the lower bunk. And the night that I spent in the room, his bedroom closet made noises all night long. There were pings and creaks and pops and sounds from within that shut-up closet. It was the kind with the accordion-style doors. And it was as if something were winding its way through all the little nooks and crannies of all that piled-on plastic toy junk in there. Now, granted, it could have been the tectonic shift of all those toys piled on top of each other, but the noises to me seem so purposeful, made on purpose to call attention to itself. It was very frightening. I never stayed in my brother's room again, and neither did my brother for that matter. He slept with my mother until he's about 10 years old. I know, that's probably stuff for the therapist there. Anyway, and so the hallway light outside my bedroom door would just pop on in the middle of the night. And when I was younger, I would sleep with my bedroom door open. But then it would pop on, the light would pop on and pop off. And I remember at one point my mother yelling for whatever it was to knock it off and to turn the light switch off. She would later tell me that she'd seen a hand and the arm of a figure actually reach around and touch the light switch, which was visible from the angle of where her bedroom door is into the hallway. And so I started to close my door at night so I didn't have to deal with that. And out of seeming like retaliation for this, I started to hear footsteps start to circle my bed at night as I was laying there trying to get some sleep. You'd hear the shuffling against the carpet of these footsteps just restlessly all over the room all night long. And once or twice, as I'm laying there just about to fall asleep, I would hear someone say my name right against my ear. And I would jerk awake and pull the covers up over my ears. And to this day, I still have to sleep with the covers up over my ears because of that. And as time passed, it came to be this regular occurrence, and it just inserted itself into our daily lives. And it became a normalcy for us, even though a normal house for most people doesn't involve having to deal with stuff like this. And I think whatever it was, wasn't satisfied to be part of the routine. So it branched out in its repertoire. I remember one Saturday morning after cartoons were over, my brother and I were jumping up and down on the king size bed in our parents' bedroom. And we heard this click thunk kind of sound. And we looked, and over on the dresser near my mother's bed, the television set was sitting there. And this is from a television from the late 70s where you've got a dial on it. And the dial was clinking, was trying to turn back and forth as if an invisible hand were trying to turn it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And to this day, I cannot think of a way to rationalize this, nor could we at the time, even though we were probably just too busy being terrified and fleeing the room to even come up with a rational explanation. But we never jumped up and down on the bed again. And, you know, there were probably a dozen other things that happened like this. And all of it seemed purposeful and perfectly placed to, drive us a wedge between us all. My father and mother would yell at each other. And, you know, there was a lot of fighting. There was always a lot of fighting in our house. And then this thing called the roof runner became a common occurrence. And this was a title that my brother and I started calling it. It's a sound of running footsteps, like a child or a smaller person running across our roof. Just anytime, day or night, in all manner of weather, sun or shine, day or nights, no rhyme or reason to it. It never happened when my dad was home. It would only happen when the three of us were home, me, my mom, my brother. And we tried to disprove it. We'd try to debunk it, run outside and catch whoever was in the act. But there's no way someone could climb the roof, run across it, and then jump off and hide without being noticed. And, you know, again, it became one of those things. It was an ordinary occurrence for us. And then as my brother and I approached our teenage years, we started getting in some horrible fights. I mean, legendary property damage kind of fights. And my brother's way of pushing my buttons was to invade my room. And as you're probably aware, as a teenager, your room is your sanctuary and you don't want anybody else going in there. The bedroom furniture in my room had these little metal pulls on the drawers that would make this very distinct sound. And if you played this noise for me today, I could tell you what this noise was. It was a metal little pull. And if it clinked, if you let it go, it would vibrate against itself and make this very distinct sound. And so that would be the sound I would listen for if I heard and my brother And I would know that my brother was in my room nosing about. He was about to try to open some drawers in the room. And so I would hear that and I would come running and, you know, we'd try to kill each other. And it was like this vicious cycle. And maybe this thing liked to try to create chaos. And maybe that's, it fed off of it or it was amused by it. And so this sound I heard a lot. And even if my brother denied it, I would accuse him of trying to go through things in my room. And so I remember one day I'd come home from school, and the bus had let me off, and I was in the kitchen. And I heard from the kitchen, I heard that clink pink sound of the drawer in my room. And I immediately reacted, thinking I'm going to run into my room and catch my brother red-handed in the act of going into my room because he's a little jerk. But I stopped halfway there. I stopped in the middle of the living room because I remembered that he had not gotten off the school bus with me. He had stayed behind after school for baseball practice, and I was in the house by myself. And I stood there and just suddenly terrified because I could hear the plink tink noise of the other drawers in that same chest of drawers being touched. Something was running its hands up and down them and making those noises. And it was as if it was goading me, trying to tease me, allure me into my room. And I did the most logical thing. I ran out and hid on the patio outside. And I did my homework there until my stupid little ass munch brother came home, because it was better being at home with him alone than being in a house by myself with that thing. And then there were dozens of little events like this, like dirty little tricks. It wanted there to be no mistaking that you were seeing what you were seeing, or no means to explain it away as anything else. I was sitting at my desk doing homework, and I watched my bedspread pulled down the side of my bed. I was in my room, I guess, sitting on the floor, listening to music or something like that. I can't remember what I was doing, but I remember I was staying stationary. And then the entire bookshelf toppled over. And it was terrible, because I felt at this point I'd become used to, seeing some weird things happen like this. But I was very angered by this, because on this bookshelf I had some ceramic horse figurines that I truly loved and I'd been cherished since childhood, and they were shattered. And I suffered from sleep paralysis often, and then sometimes I would even dream about being levitated off the bed and placed on the floor. In fact, this one time I woke up on the floor with the comforter over my head. So I can't even explain that. And then I know in an effort to thwart this, I tried sleeping on the living room sofa only once. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I don't know what had woken me up, but I looked into the hallway that connects with the kitchen, and I saw the black profile of a man step out of the wall, look in my direction. I don't know how I knew he was looking at me, but I just sensed it. And so I pulled the covers over my head, and I just stayed that way the rest of my life. I had the pee so bad, and I was sweating my ass off, but I did not move. I stayed that way the rest of my night. And over time, just the energy of the house just worsened. Everyone was unhappy. When my father came home, there would be nonstop arguments with my mother. My brother started staying away. He'd sleep over at friends' houses for weeks on end. And maybe it was the goal of this thing to break us apart as of a family, or maybe our family was never that strong to begin with, but I don't know. I moved out to attend school at the university, and I was preoccupied with that. No, there were no ghostly presences that came with me. There was nothing like that. Mom and Dad sold the house, and I only bothered to return home there once or twice in that span of time while I'd been away at school. There's really nothing to miss about it. There was no loving environment. It had always been a place to me where everyone just lived on the verge of an argument. Everyone walked on eggshells around each other. I moved out of state and started my own life. And my brother and my parents, they remained in Louisiana. And then Hurricane Katrina happened. A few years after that, I returned to Louisiana. My father had passed away. And I stayed with my brother and his wife. And we decided to take a tour of Lower St. Bernard Parish, where we were from. And so we drove around for a bit, and we turned down the street to our neighborhood, our childhood home, just out of curiosity, I guess. We just wanted to see the place. And the house was gone. I think it was, perhaps it was damaged in Katrina, but it doesn't make a lot of sense when you consider that the neighbors' houses to either side of it, all around it, front and back, they were still there. They seemed relatively undamaged. You know, a lot of places got flooded down there. I imagine there was internal damage, but it was like a jaw with missing teeth. Just that tooth, that house was missing right there. And it was just wiped from existence. And the only thing that was left was the concrete foundation and the lip of the driveway where I remember we used to ride our bikes. And I do not feel saddened by this. You know, maybe the people that lived there after us had to deal with the roof runner or all the hopeless energy that got collected within those walls. Or on some unacknowledged level, they realized the place was never meant to be a loving home from the start and it needed to be demolished. So I had only one thought as we drove away. Good.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.